discouraging.
So I haven't bothered digging it up. I was going to put some more daffodils in, but
yeah. Okay, I'm here with Mrs. Hope Hunter, and it is mid-November, November 16th, 2009. What I wanted to ask you about first, well, let's just clarify. You said you've been away from here for, what, approximately 50?
Probably 50 years, yeah. But I came back in the summer as long as my parents were here, and then I didn't. I came back to the Long Reach, but it didn't come to Ross.
No.
But you get out of touch.
Yes, yeah.
Very much so. But when I did come back, if you're doing this thing, the one thing, we had a meeting of church people, because they broke the church up into divisions, 1, 2, 3, 4, that sort of thing.
Really?
Which is great, because then
for different
number
areas.
4 will take over and do the whole dinner or something.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, they had a meeting at Mrs. Bourne's of all this area. And the first question they asked was, of everyone, individually, what do you like and what do you not like about the church? And as far as I was concerned, when I came back here, everybody says, nothing ever changes in New Brunswick, nothing changes. I said, that's fine, the house I was born in has been demolished, the church that I was christened in was burnt to the ground, the school that I went to has been demolished, and the family no longer live in the family home, so things change.
Yes.
The only thing that was left that was the same, which I was happy to be with, was the church.
Really?
It was still there.
Yeah.
And yeah. You went back as though you'd always been.
Really?
So
yes.
That was,
yeah.
That's why I'm still there.
So many of the same people, I would think, too, really.
Oh, not too many left. I mean, at my age, I don't expect to see too many old friends around, but are some.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
A few of us.
So is there a wide range of ages at the church? Or?
Oh, what? The people?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, from all over around the boat.
Yeah.
No, it's wonderful.
It seems to be a very active church.
It is. I bought on the bulletin this week, and I said, it's just tired to read it. But yesterday, well, I did go to church, and then I was invited to have a cup of soup and go back to the musical thing, which was at 2:30, and then I was invited to go next door to have something to eat, so that was all day. And last night I was in bed at 8:30, I think. But you can be as busy as you like.
Yes.
But my age, you're not too busy.
Yeah.
I decided, no, it gets too much. But they have a list of all kinds of things on this bulletin this time, all different outreach group that looks after people away, and then the people that look after the people here. It just goes on and on and on.
And it's not that big a community, really, a church community.
Well, it covers quite a bit of ground because people come from different areas, and I think there are 300 families.
That's very good.
But
yeah.
Usually the church is pretty full.
Yes.
But... I don't know. It's just, it's a very happy place to be, really.
Isn't that nice?
People have a good time, and they always are glad to be there.
It's a beautiful church.
It's lovely.
It's like going to England, to me, I found, stepping into
Well, originally, it was not an Anglican church. They bought it.
Yes.
In the early 1800s. Isn't it?
Yeah, from Presbyterians.
My grandparents were married there, which always surprises me.
Were they?
1885. Five or something.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. No.
Now you say the church that you were baptized in burnt down. Where was
Trinity.
That?
Not Trinity, the Valley Church in St. John.
Oh, okay.
It burnt.
Yeah.
Parents and grandparents all went there.
Yeah.
And I was born in St. John in grandmother's house, and that's demolished. St. Joseph's Hospital was there.
Oh, that's where it is. Yeah.
Then the church burnt down.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. Nothing familiar except the church.
Now, when you went, did you go to Netherwood?
I did for many years.
Can you tell me anything about it, or Miskanong, or anything?
She was a marvel. She really was. I had a good time. She was very old-fashioned in many ways. But when you think that woman felt that we should all learn to speak French back in the 30s,
yes,
that was something.
Yes,
I mean, she knew what she was doing. I think she was a student herself. But she had a lot of old-fashioned ideas. We used to think they were as old as hickory, but as you get older, you appreciate how our thinking was.
Yeah.
But it was a great school.
Were you a resident student or a day student?
Both.
Both.
Because my family moved to Montreal, and I boarded for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
In the senior years.
Now, your family moved to Montreal. When would that have been?
Well, Dad went up in the early 30s, and Mom went in the 30s. They left in 38.
Okay.
When the war started, she felt that she would rather be here because
right.
she also had her sister's three boys that had come to make their home with us, and then they'd taken off. But everybody had joined the forces, and she felt they needed a home to head back to.
Really?
So I think it was 38 she decided she'd stay in New Brunswick.
Well, she came back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But for a few years, the house, they were back in the summer, but the house was closed.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just want to be clear about this. Did they both leave and then she came back, or she
no,
stayed?
No, Dad went,
right.
and he was there on his own until things started to roll, the dirty 30s.
Yes.
And he took lots of courage to do it. But with all, my grandfather had a lumber business, and he felt all his sons should be in it, and Dad had been in it forever. He
yes.
held him out of McGill.
And your father's name was?
Hugh.
Hugh, okay.
And he
right.
came back from McGill to run it, so he was young.
He was young.
And he said it was time for him to move on, and he did it. But it took a lot of decision to do
yeah.
that in the early 30s. And he went up, and then Mum went about 5 years later, I think, and they had an apartment.
Oh, okay.
And I went to school there for a year, to the mother house, which I found very difficult.
I bet.
It was worthwhile in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my sister met the McGill. So we were there for quite a while.
So you had how many sisters and how many brothers?
One brother and two sisters.
Okay, okay. So it would have been your uncles who were away at war as well.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Like your was Ray your uncle?
Ray was the youngest.
Yes,
yeah.
which is so sad. You know, that
yes.
Yeah.
It was young Ray, who would be his great-great-nephew, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
went this year to, he said, I went to see the monument and his name because I was named after him. And he on the Vimy Memorial.
Yes,
I've seen it,
yes. Yeah.
And mother's brother, youngest brother was killed too. So I think that's why I got the name Hope.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They were on their
yeah.
way to the christening. They're still arguing over it, I guess.
Really?
It's quite ridiculous, but it's quite a good story. My father had a terrific sense of humor, and she wanted to call me Althea, which was her youngest sister's name. Dad disliked it very much, and he said, you might as well call her Paprika, as far as I'm concerned. This is the story they told me, and on the way to church, they decided it would be Hope, because that was the only thing left.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
That's cute.
So her brother, one was missing, and they both lost their brother. So between one thing and another, I guess that...
It was a hard time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
Now, when you say some of her nephews came, where did they come from to stay? You said they came, some of the nephews came to stay during the war?
Oh, no, they were here.
Oh, okay, they were here.
My mother's sister died at the age of 42, leaving three teenage boys.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So Mom took them into our house.
She did. Good for her.
Yeah. And then they went off. Well, their father was in New York, so it wasn't easy, but they went off. Two of them went off. And the third one came back. He said he didn't like living in the United States much.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And they're all gone dead, but the eldest one was my age. We grew up like brother and sister, really.
Mm-hmm. Which is
nice. It's a household. I think Mom really must have had her hands full with seven of us coming and going, and then they all went off in the forces, every one of them.
Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my dear. Now, when you say they all, do you mean...
My brother, my sisters.
Right, because your sisters were too, that's right.
They were both in the Navy. Yeah.
They were both in the Navy.
And my brother was in the Army. And the boys were Army, Air Force, and American Air Force,
really?
The youngest one.
Really? Good heavens. So you were the... Sorry.
I was the only one. I went to work in the bank.
You did?
Yeah.
But were you the baby of the family?
No, I was the eldest girl.
Oh, okay.
My brother was older, and mm-hmm. he died of cancer at 70 years old. And he was Hugh again.
Okay, right.
The one they called you up to hear about.
Right, that would be Chas's dad.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
And no, I was the eldest, and I had taken that course in Montreal, and Dad said, if you want to work, you have to go back to Montreal, because St. John was pretty hard to get people to get jobs
yes.
in those days.
Yeah.
You take one, somebody else doesn't get one, and you don't need one. I didn't want to go to Montreal, and then the day war started, he said, now if you want to go to work, you'd better.
Yes.
And I did, the next day.
Really?
So when they all started taking off, I said, I should have done that. And my sister said, you'd hate it. I don't know why they said it, but
really,
I was quite happy doing what I was doing, and I was busy.
Yeah.
I don't know. We all went by train, because there were no cars during the war, and that little station, everybody would meet there every morning.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. They just think it's mad when they tell them about it, but we didn't think twice about it.
I think it's wonderful.
I quite often ran out the door with a piece of toast in my hand or something. Get down to that train. I think it was 10 to 8 or something in the winter, and about 10 after during the summer, something like
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
And later on, my grandmother gave me a little car. And it had a history. My uncle bought it for his wife. She never could drive. She was too nervous. Grandmother thought she'd save all kinds of gas or something during the war and put her big car in the garage, but it was a little two-seater thing. She just had a Ray Butler that drove for her, and he was for 50-odd years. So she said she couldn't take a friend with her. It was no good. So to bridge or whatever she did.
Right.
And it sat in the garage again. And she phoned me when I was working, when I come over and see her one day. And she gave me this little car, which was wonderful. But gas was, everything was rationed.
Yes.
So this was for very special occasions.
I bet.
But then I went away after I was married, and mother loaned it to people who were working at the house, and they drove over the hill on the wrong side of the road, and that was the end of it.
Oh,
fortunately,
no.
They made it, but the car didn't.
Really? Oh, dear.
Those old cars, I think, were built like tanks.
Really? Yeah.
But that was the end of it.
Now, during the war, can you remember if your mother did have any of the children from England?
She would place the children from England, and we did. She did send. They sent a cable over to a family who were connected in business, and not unknown to mother. She said they'd love to come, and the mother came as well as the children.
Oh.
So we did have them for a while.
Really.
And they became great, just part of the family too. And we still are in contact with them all the time.
Really?
But they took off one by one, and one finished the boys' school here. He came back a couple of years ago for his 60th reunion.
Really?
And the others went to different places. Well, the girl went to Netherwood, and she's back in England. Well, she's many times a grandmother and still going. But Mom placed all those other children that came with no place to go, and they had to find homes for them and that sort of thing. She and Miss Purdy did a lot of it.
Yes.
And the war children, I think they called
them. Yes,
there
was just some discrepancy in the files about the numbers and whether they did come or not, so that's why I was trying to.
Oh, well, they did.
Yeah.
Now, Talia could tell you more than I can, probably. They nearly all did, though. The Harriets, there were four Harriet brothers, I think, that all came together.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
They said they let the eldest one come so he could look after the others.
Really? Yeah.
Well, Cyril, we all knew well because he lived with the Flemings, but he was killed in Korea.
Oh, okay.
War. And one just died recently. But they were some of the early war children.
Yeah.
I remember quite a few were Sussex, Hampton, way in around about.
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But your mother, you're saying she had, of course, everybody was growing up then, but she did a lot in the community. How did
she kept
manage?
Going. She had always had somebody in the house to help, but she was with the children's aid. She did the Girl Guide.
The IODE. Yes. Yeah.
And she was a wild politician.
Was she really?
Well, her father... Her brother was, as a young boy, would rather be out in the woods and everything else, and she used to do everything for her father. And he was in politics, so she followed it all, and then she literally put Dad into politics. He was never a born politician, but she was, and she was very firm on what she thought about it all.
Isn't that so?
And during the Diefenbaker years, there were several people who wanted to put her in the Senate, and these letters would come, but he refused to.
Really?
Yeah. And her remark, that was quite, I don't know what I should repeat it even. She said, well, that's all right. What would I do up there in Ottawa with all those old men? Oh, she wasn't hurt about it. She just understood, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like she
was. And she was so busy.
Yeah.
And she was devoted to her parents. And when they discovered that grandfather had diabetes, she went every day and gave him, insulin was brand new. It was too late, but it was new.
Right.
One arm and the other arm. Every day, she'd go.
Isn't that something?
And he kept saying, you'll have to look after your mother. Which she did, and she lived to be 102 and ended up in St. Joseph's, but because they tore the house down. But Mom just kept going. She always, you know,
did
was
she
busy,
have
busy.
Any, did she have any sisters or brothers?
She had a brother, King, who was...
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then she had the sister with the mother of all the boys.
Oh, okay.
And a younger sister
okay.
who lived in Quebec. With four children, and the brother that was killed.
So it was really just her here.
She was the one that kept pushing and shoving for them all,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Her sister could do anything, the one that died before you, too. She was very capable, lovely-looking person.
Yeah.
But I can she and her husband used to fancy skate all over the river, and they'd sing away to each other when they, at Lakeside. They lived in that house that Dorothy Dearborn lives in now.
Dorothy Dearborn.
That was the McAvity house way back when.
Where does Dorothy live?
Oh, in Lakeside, on the road that comes through. If you come from the Sussex area, you come through along the lake.
Okay.
And over that hump bridge.
Oh, well, I remember the house. I used to work at the newspaper, and I knew Dorothy at the paper years ago.
Right.
I used to spend weekends at their house.
Well, that house up there by the hump bridge, as we say, she owned the property almost to the bridge. And they had a tennis court. It was a great haven for children.
I bet. No, that's okay. I love that too.
Oh, early in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I don't know. The war years, I think that was Mama's sanity. She just kept so busy.
Yes.
But I can remember one night coming home from work and she sitting with Dad, and she was out on a children's aid case, and Dad was pacing the floor, worried about her, and she didn't get home till 2 o'clock in the morning or something, and that child had been moved and moved and moved, and she was trying to solve the whole thing.
Oh, my dear.
And she got into some pretty grim little situations.
I bet.
And she said, it's not nearly as bad as the first war, and we used to go and visit the wives down on Aaron Street and those places. She said, that was scary.
Really?
So
wow.
She'd been brought up in St. John and knew every corner of it, I think.
I bet. Yeah. What street was that?
Aaron. It's down Crown Street.
Oh, okay.
All that area down there. Was
right.
Hay Square off, and then
right.
they ran.
Right, yeah.
Off there.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
And it was pretty seamy, a lot of it.
Yeah.
There were some wonderful people, too, down
yeah.
there.
But it sounds like nothing daunted her.
No, that she wouldn't let anything.
Yeah.
I think some things did, but she would put on a brave front.
Really?
But, no, she was amazing.
Yeah. And it would be hard, too. Like, now her, you say her brother was killed in the war. Was that the second war or the first war?
First,
mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The first, he was only 20, 21 or something.
Yeah.
No, the Second War, my brother was in that one, but he came home.
Yeah.
And all those cousins, they all came home, which was wonderful.
Which is great, considering, mm-hmm. yes, yeah. Do you remember Dorothy Purdy at all? Like, were you?
Oh, mercy, yes.
Can you tell me anything about her?
Well, she, again, spent her life looking after her father.
Really?
And he was a nice old fellow. When we were young, we used to be up on Waters Landing on the St. John River, and that's just above Purdy's Point, which
right.
was his, her
oh,
father.
Okay.
And he had a place there. And my youngest sister used to go and sit on his knees. And then we used to, as children, he shook, but he obviously had Parkinson's, I suppose, nowadays. But
yes.
He shook all the time, and she used to sit on his knee, and he loved it. And when Miss Purdy died, she said that a lot of her things went to my sister because she was so close to her father. She devoted her life to her father.
Really? Yeah.
And Oh, she was just an interesting character. She taught us a lot. She was, ran the Girl Guides for quite a while.
Yes.
And I think she probably, and Christina Matthew was another one up and down the point, that started my interest in birds. And Miss Matthew taught us how to canoe or paddle, and, you know, things like that. But Miss Purdy taught the young people about the outdoors and through guiding.
Mm-hmm.
She was terrific. And she lived alone in that little house after her father went. We used to go up there, and when the family came back, they always called on her. She had been mom's friend for life.
Yes,
and she was mom's
like
bridesmaid.
Oh, was she really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miss Portia McKenzie, Miss Purdy. There was a picture up in the mall of their wedding for a long time. Mom's and dad. Nobody knew what it was. It was fun to stand there and listen to some of the chat. But I thought they were the saddest looking group.
So what?
It's still on the desk.
Really? What years would that have been when she, when you were in guides with her?
Miss Purd?
Yeah.
First, oh, I went in the 20s.
Yeah, so it was
to
be between
to
the
her
horse.
Place. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think she was doing it forever.
Yes.
She was great. And she, every year, even when I lived in Toronto, she'd send me at Christmas time her mincemeat. You know, to make it and parcel it and mail it and everything else, she wouldn't give it. And one year she sent us all the recipe. And we said, Miss Purdy, what's this all about? She said, well, I might not be here next year. So now we make it out of her recipe.
Really?
But she was a great cook, and she knew when my brother-in-law came that he loved a certain cookie. She'd always have it for him.
Yeah.
She was just loved to have young people go and call on her, I think.
Yeah.
And it was an easy place to go. She was always entertaining.
Isn't that nice?
Very sure of the way life should be, but she was great, great company.
The good thing is she kept clippings, and we have her files.
Well, my sister had it all. I think she sent it
Did
all
she?
Up to the...
Did she? She was...
Where, that's my daughter was asking me, where are all those things? That I said, I don't know.
There, I have...
In the high school?
I have a lot of them right now, yes. They're at the high
at
school.
At the high school.
The Rossay Living Museum. And I have the ledgers, Dorothy Purdy's ledgers,
mm-hmm.
and the red book. And I have that
oh,
now.
Oh, that's it.
For research.
Because Hazel Inch is up the road. She's my sister.
Yes.
And all those things ended up, and she said, what am I going to do with them? And she said, one day I'm going to give them all to the town.
Well, what a blessing that she did.
Yeah.
Yes, because we wouldn't have any of that.
No.
Yeah.
She said, one day when Annie Mae Dobbin and she were together, and they were talking about people in the village, she said, you know, Annie Mae, the awful part of it is we're the old characters now. And they were. So that's what happens.
If you live long enough,
yeah,
I guess.
Exactly.
Because
as children, when this house, not this house, when the family house was being built, we stayed at the Candy House for a while.
Oh, okay.
And Arthur used to have these terrible tales of, I was two or something, 2 and a half, I don't know. I've lived here really ever since, off and on. And I go up and down the road now with a visitor, and they say, who lives in that house? And this, I haven't any idea.
Really?
Yeah. Except for Mrs. Bourne and her house and Johnny Kirkpatrick and the Kirkpatrick house. I said, there's not one living soul that I know that lives in their own house.
That's what Audrey Stanley said that too.
Oh.
That's right, yeah.
Whereas before everybody knew everybody and most of their business, I think.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But that was nice, you know.
Oh, it was wonderful. And I was telling my children about Christmas. They had a big tree up in... Well, opposite Benjamin's Books and the old, that nasty filling station building.
Yeah.
There used to be a little square bit there
right.
with a telephone pole and whatnot. And they had an enormous Christmas tree every year.
Oh,
and everybody just automatically went up Christmas Eve and sang carols. And
really?
I think my grandmother put the lights on the thing. But it was just part of living in life, so you just sort of waited for that day to go.
That's nice.
And there were so many things like that. When they first put the cross up, grandmother was very proud of that too, and mother helped with that one, the memorial cross. It was right next to the school.
The school, wasn't it?
And we used to march out and stand at that every year.
Really?
They were just things that were part of the village, and I can remember as a youngster, I don't know what year it was, but they put the pavement in the road And we all had roller skates, all of us. It was such fun.
It was 1921, I think.
That they paved it?
Yeah, because it was the...
Oh, well, that wouldn't have...
1919 or 1921. It was.
Well,
for
it
they
must
visit.
Have repaved it because I wouldn't be big enough to
okay.
roller skate.
No,
there.
That's right. Of course not.
No.
It would be repaved because they paved it first for the visit of the prince.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So you can remember roller skating.
Well, I can remember when we. I was 11. I thought when we got roller skates, it was so exciting. But and we rode our bikes to school. Life was so easy when
yes.
you look back on it.
Yes.
Very
yeah.
pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great place to be a youngster. Most, I think it still is, but
yes, you know, I think so.
Yeah.
In a different way, but
different way.
Yeah.
But as youngsters, and the other thing that when we were going to school, my grandmother had a horse and buggy and a man that drove it, and in the morning, he would go and pick up my two uncles and my father. And drive them down to the train.
Oh, okay.
And if we were quick, we could sometimes get a ride, or he'd take us afterwards and drop us at school if it wasn't
really?
Too early, which was a great thrill. And you think of doing that, it's just, you couldn't do it now. If you tried, I don't think, for the traffic. And it was my father who said one day, they've got to build another highway. They can't have all that traffic going through Rossi, because at their house, every big truck and then changed gears to go up the hill. And it was
of
noisy.
Course,
and he
of
said,
course.
That's only the beginning of it. He said, it's going to be dreadful. And that's why the highway has his name on it. He was had died before they finished it, but it was Hugh John Fleming put it through the house.
That's right.
And
yeah.
it's a stay. And I think of him making that remark. Oh, he made some wonderful remarks. Both things. We'll never forget. That was great.
Well, he was right about that, wasn't he?
Oh, he was.
Wow.
Thank goodness. I don't know how on earth. Now they're talking about widening it, but I think most of the problem are those when you shoot off onto it.
Yes.
There's no room.
No,
it's scary.
That's true. Yeah.
My daughter was just here. She lives in Toronto, and she said, Mom, I find the driving here absolutely terrifying.
Really?
Now she drives everywhere now.
Really? Wow.
But she said they drive so quickly and they all tailgate.
Oh, they do. It's true.
And we were going 110, and she said, I'm doing the speed limit. In fact, I'm a little over. And cars went by us just like lightning.
They drive
she
right
said,
over you.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's a little highway, and they're doing that.
It's true. Yeah. Well, your family's had a big influence on Rossi. Eh?
Well,
really?
They lived here for a good many
yeah.
years, and grandfather moved out from St. John. They always said they put a head tax on St. John and drove him out.
I know.
He was a doer, old Scott, but he was okay. He had a big spruce tree down between our house and the house next door, the Sayers lived in.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big field.
Oh, okay.
And at the bottom of it was a spruce tree known as his spruce tree, and he'd go down and inspect it all the time. Well, every kid loved to climb it, but the field was marvelous. We played ball, baseball, and everything in that field for years. Grew up in it.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was great. But every once in a while, he'd wander over and take a look at that spruce tree.
Why was it so special?
Well, he was a lumberman, and I guess it was an enormous, beautiful tree.
Yes, yeah.
I suppose he just liked it for that reason. I don't know.
That's nice.
But it was quite a thing.
That's nice.
No, there were all kinds of trees back there. My brother and the boys next door built a camp down there in the woods.
How nice.
They said it was a two-story one, but they dug down first.
Really?
And made it sort of like a pit, and then they put an upstairs floor on it, which was great. But he was pretty young, and he jumped up. We were up in the country all summer, and he came home to work on that, and he jumped off and jumped on a rusty nail and had blood poisoning.
Who was this?
My brother.
Oh, dear. Ooh.
And he was laid up for the whole year.
Oh, my goodness.
In those days, there was nothing to stop blood poisoning.
Yeah.
And they wanted to amputate his leg, and Dr. Addy said, no way. And Dr. Addy was a doctor that lived on the top of the hill after he retired.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on Union Street in those days. But he said, no. No, boy, that young, and he saved the leg.
He did. Good for him.
Yeah. And then Arthur Hazen, who was another sort of relative, was at the boys' school, and he had a mastoid ear, which I think children had a lot in those days. And mother took him in because he had no family to go to. So she had the two of them in bed for quite some time. And I wish you could see in that room by the time they finished. They'd shake the ginger ale and squirt the walls. And,
oh, no.
You know, she had to redo everything. But that was just part of Mom's day, I guess.
Isn't
she put
that
up with it.
Something? That's amazing.
She always had somebody.
Yeah. Now, did you use the river for activities?
Oh, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We skated on the river, and the boys, most of the young boys, my age group, not most, but there were four or five of them that had ice boats.
Yes.
And we used to ice boat. Terrifying and cold, but I don't know, it was fun. And I wouldn't do it now for all the tea in China, I don't think. I remember one day we were going along and there was always an open spot between, we called it Tennant's Point, I think, but the beach and across the river. And one of the skates on the boat caught in it and threw us off. And we slid across that ice and slid and slid and slid. But, and you'd see the water come up, and I thought, but underneath there was another layer of ice.
That's right,
which
yeah.
Surface water,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know, it was a pretty exciting game. But we did a lot, right down here.
Yes, yeah.
Is where we used to go. And in the spring, my brother and Dick Steele used to catch muskrats and everything in this marsh over here. And in the spring, we'd come down and get in the rowboat and row around amongst the trees. And that, right here, was all birch trees. And you could jump out and tie the boat to the birch tree and stand on the knoll with the water all around during the freshets. That and the railway track were both the only thing that were about water, I think.
Isn't that something?
It was, yeah. And they, I don't know, they used to jump from ice cake to ice cake, the flow when the ice was going out, terrifying. I don't think the parents ever knew they were doing that one.
No.
But, oh no, young people, we had a good time. But, and I can remember when we were very young, it was a train wreck. One, they had cattle, and they had to shoot some of the cattle. But the one I remember most, they had grain on it, wrecked here. And the grain was on the beach and down the side of the track, and the water got underneath, and the grain grew. So we were fascinated by this as children. This thing got bigger. It was so wet. It
expanded. Yes, yeah.
No, those things, you forget about them, but they happened.
A lot of simple things, but a lot of fun.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And you could always do, right behind the tennis court, there's a tiny little slope of a hill down into, then it was a little open field. I think Johnny Kirkpatrick owned it, but that's where we used to go and slide all the time.
Really?
And
yeah.
When you look at it, it's minute, but we were pretty little, I suppose.
Exactly, it's all relative.
Just through the backyards and over there, and we used to go over there with our toboggan and things, and play there by the hour.
Isn't that great?
No, it was pretty simple. And then behind the house there were the sewage disposal, you know, it was built there eventually, but that was always just a good playground of building camps and things in the
yes,
porch.
I bet.
The boys always had something down there. And when that ran out, over behind grandmother's house, my brother had they had a pond full of ducks, geese, I don't know what all. He and Dick Steele again. And they had a fundy fur and feather sort of thing. And they had a pair of fighting cock that Dad brought home someplace, which I think were probably quite illegal, but they were beautiful looking creatures and they didn't really fight much, but they were those long tailed plumage.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they had odd ducks. I think Dad was as interested as they were, because behind the house there was an old barn in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And the back of the barn, it had a hen house and originally a couple of stalls. And when my brother was keeping hens, he had about 30 hens or something.
Good heavens.
And then they sent him this RCS to board, and I had to look after them, and I hated the hens. And I had to put them in every night, and one night I guess they didn't put them in, and they were in the trees frozen the next morning. I think that they decided perhaps that I didn't have to look after the hens. Eventually we're all gone, but how I loathe those things.
I bet.
Feeding them.
Yeah.
But the boys had a good time with it, and the muskrats, and they used to take the tails and the feet and put wires in them and put them in somebody's desk and those tricks this year, but they did it. They're always up to games. But, well, great gang. Jeff, Sarah, and I grew up together pretty well. And he didn't do as much. He always had a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think first sailing I probably did was with Jeff, too, other than the little boat up at Lakeside.
Right.
But, the old timers, now he's gone.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know who's around that would... Odd Stanley and I guess, are two of that group.
Dick Steele is still
going. I hadn't talked to Dick for some time, but
I was talking to his daughter not that long ago. Yeah, no, I know his stories were very interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
No, yeah. I was out with Dick when I was on my way to Europe the night before I left, and I had a date with Dick, and then I had a cable from my family saying, "If you're sick, other than seasick, proceed to." England. I was getting off in France, and I didn't know what that was all about, but I discovered afterwards Dick woke up in the morning with polio.
Oh boy.
It was that awful polio.
37. Wow. And they were afraid maybe that you had it?
Yes.
They
were, if I was, I had broken an ankle,
mm-hmm.
sailing of all things, and they were concerned about that, but it was all right. Other than that, if I was sick at all, I was to go to England. And, what am I supposed to have wrong with me? Because I didn't know anything until I finally heard.
Wow.
But so much of that that year.
Yeah. So you've been back now for
29 years?
Since that's amazing.
88.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
My husband died in 86, and I stuck for a couple of years, and I thought, this is ridiculous. I'm not enjoying being a widow in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I had this piece of property, and I thought, well, I think I'll go back and build a house. We had a camp on here, but they broke into it every year, and finally, they stole everything that made music, so to speak. My gramophone was stolen, my radio, the guitar, anything in the house that, like that, was stolen. I think it was local kids.
Yes,
yeah. My brother said, you better tear it down, or they're going to burn it down. So we tore it down, and so the property was sitting here, and I thought, I'm going back and I'm going to build a house.
Well, it's a lovely spot. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's great. Mm-hmm. The railway track drives a lot of people crazy, but you get very used to that.
I mean,
we always had the railway.
I love the sound of the trains.
I don't like it when it shakes the house.
No.
We're on a stand belt. And
okay.
Even the family house, that neighbor, shook every time the train went by.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pat Gallagher said, it does up there too.
Oh, okay.
It's a big sand belt.
Oh, that's what it is then. Yeah.
Right down to the brook.
Yeah.
But it's quiet other than that, and it's pleasant.
It's lovely. No, it's just beautiful. Yeah.
And I planted all these trees. Now
did
I can't
you really?
Even see the house.
Oh, for heavens.
Well,
yeah.
When I came, I could look right down the village, and I could see the ferry going back and forth from
really?
My desk.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't even see the river. No. But. There was a little tiny pine tree across that house and nothing else really growing. And they planted a couple of trees, and they're so big now that I can't see a thing. So
isn't
I let my own grow,
isn't that
grow
amazing?
Up too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some have given out. I have an order in for a new window in here. When the sun comes around, you can't even see through it.
Yeah, we have one like that too.
Isn't it annoying?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
But David Longton put a new one in.
Oh, that's good. That's beautiful.
The kitchen, too. That one is really bad. And 2 years ago, they were going to put it in. And, I'll send the man around to measure. He never came. So I kept thinking they'd come, but they didn't. So
no.
I went in to David Long, and he's going to do it. He came down, said he'd take 4 to 6 weeks or something before it comes in, but.
Well, you'll have it done then.
I have it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, but
now, is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything else?
Town of Rosti. Oh, I don't know what you'd like to know. We all went to that same little school.
Yes.
It was so tiny then, and now you look at it. And the park always interests me because that was a cow pasture, and wet, swampy cow pasture. But a family came up from Trinidad. I think it was British Guiana. Maybe. Anyway, he was an English engineer, And they moved back up here after he finished his job down there, and they were living in what they call the alley.
Oh, yes.
Up there.
Yeah.
And he thought that that should be made into a park, and he had a design and everything for it. So he was really the instigator of the whole thing,
really?
I would think.
Really?
Mr. Ravener. And then they moved away, all back to England. But I think they'd be quite surprised if they could see it
that,
now. It really
yes,
looks so nice
it's
now.
It's lovely. But wasn't there, or maybe that was after it was made a park, didn't the young people skate?
Oh, we had a skating rink over, yeah, oh, in the winter over there, and a shack where we changed our skates.
At the same location where it is now?
Yes, pretty
okay.
well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know when that came, but certainly we all skated there. But I can remember walking up the other side, and there was a split rail fence on part of it and some barbed wire fence on part
oh,
of
really?
It.
Oh, really? Good
yeah.
heavens. Yeah.
And Doug, somebody used to come down and take his cows out.
Doug Wright.
It was Kennedy's,
yes.
I think, to begin with.
Yes, and Doug Wright's family.
Doug Wright, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
And now it's hard to see a cow. A lot of young people don't even know what cows
oh.
are.
That's like the trip in Montreal days, the girls in the junior league, when they took the children out of the country, one child wanted to know if the chocolate milk came from the brown cows. And they heard
yeah.
about cows and milk. They never had seen a cow before.
Yeah.
Well, it's like those English children. I can see one yet at the dining room table on Sunday. Mom, some of them stayed at the house before they were placed someplace. And that little boy had never seen an ice cube. And he kept bringing his finger in towards the glass over the table. And then he got up the top and he bobbed it down with his finger and watched it pop up again. You know? And they'd never seen an orange before.
Really?
No.
Wow.
Or a banana. That was another thing. Never had seen one. Well, I suppose during the war there wasn't anybody
there
flying
anything,
those things
yeah.
in, bringing those things in. They just didn't. But,
it must have been quite a shock for them, just the whole upheaval.
Oh, the poor kids. And one child who was having a bath, he said, the old bitch is going to drown me or something. Terrified. Came from the some part of London, never seen a bath.
Never seen
tub,
a tub, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't
it was pretty
it?
Rough part of the world, I think, from his language.
Yeah.
Geez, the old girl's going to drown me or something like that. Oh, it must have been awful for some of them.
Yes.
Well, I heard the radio, they were talking about the children that were sent out from Australia and all places. And I thought, oh, gosh. Just the last couple of nights they've been talking about it.
Yes, and they said they did that up into the 1960s.
Yeah.
Which
I had no
me.
Idea.
I didn't either.
No. No, I can't imagine anything worse than seeing that child get on a train in London and you... Goodbye.
Can you imagine?
No,
yeah.
pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, I suppose it was a relief to get away from all those bombs and everything else for
yes.
the children.
Yeah.
For their parents' sake, but some of them never did go home.
No, no, for sure. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, that's great. That's good. You've given me a lot of information.
Well, I don't know. I kept thinking after the girl from Scotland was here, I wonder what she really wanted to know, because if I really got into the old days of Rossi, I can remember them vividly
yes.
as a child, but it was wonderful thinking back on it.
Well, that yes, it sounds like it.
Yeah,
I'd love to
ideal.
Have seen it then. Yeah, yeah.
That's like St. John. My daughter the other day was driving all over the place, and she, we don't have to do anything, do we? And I, no, she said, let's snoop, and we drove. I saw parts of St. John I've never seen between one daughter and another coming this summer, but she was quite taken with all the architecture and. Well, one place we parked was on King Street East, where she had to look somebody up. And those old buildings, old houses with all the work on them, I'd love to have seen it in its heyday.
Yes.
I have a book in the desk there that was given to me. I had a friend in Toronto that was an engineer, but he found out books were much more interesting. He was an antique book dealer, amongst
oh,
other things.
Oh, good heavens.
And it didn't have much call for New Brunswick, so he'd give me one every once in a while. But I have one in there with pictures of the St. John buildings. Beautiful, big buildings. And when they had a show of architecture in town, not long after I moved down here, I think it was Mott with the drawings. They were lovely.
Yes.
But they didn't build a lot of them.
No, that's unfortunate.
I guess it was too big to do, lovely.
No, you don't appreciate what you have. You know, that's the thing.
No, I don't suppose we do.
No. No, people don't appreciate what we have, because St. John has a lot to offer as well.
Yeah, well, the other ones, what's down there? I said, well, I don't know. The Fitz Randolph's used to be called Randolph. I don't know what it's called now. That's a outside. And off she went, down the car, and her parts there. I've never been in before in my life.
Really?
I thought, pretty ideal. Been on the water and have everything. No.
The water defines us. It's everywhere.
Yeah. No, it's lovely. Although, we drove all along the new houses outside the city there on the edge of the water.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You'd have to like fog. There's no way I could live where I just like fog. When she comes, she doesn't care how foggy it is. She says, oh, it's so great. But I said, yes, fine, after about 3 or 4 days of it. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
We've had enough.
Exactly.
But, oh my goodness, some of them are in the fog, though. I'm sure that's why there's so much property all down that coast that you can buy.
Yes, I think so, too.
The fog, just at St. Martin's, is a typical. I know a couple of people that moved down there, and they stayed about 3 years, and then packed to Ontario.
No, it's beautiful. It's just we don't have the weather.
No.
That's the thing. Yeah. Well, that's good. I think that's good, but if you think of anything else.
Oh, I can think of lots of things. I can tell you about our sliding, for instance.
Oh, tell me.
This always amazes the children. If you know the house that the McGregor Grant lives in, down on the corner as you go to Frost Eagle. They have a name on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's right by Allison Drive.
Yes.
Well, the McGregor Grant's house, the...
It's sort of tucked in behind.
It's hidden away. You don't
yes.
really see it.
Yeah.
And at one point, the Constantines, and he was head of the military district here for a while, they were living there and they were friends. And we could hop on our sleds at their front door, give it a good kick, come down their driveway, out onto the road, and near First Shade, you had to give another sort of kick. And then you'd go down the hill to the RCS. And we'd try to see how far we could get up the other one before we hit the driveway.
Wouldn't that be fun?
And there wasn't a thing on the road in the winter, so unless it was the fish, the man that delivered the fish, he occasionally, but the milkman, who was her father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
he used to deliver the milk by horse and buggy. And old Goldie from Goldie Court,
he
had a horse and buggy.
Yes.
But there were very few, horse and sleigh, very few things on the road, and we just never thought twice about it.
Yeah.
See how far you can go.
Yeah.
From their door to our door. It was, and the boys would come down the RCS hill. I only did it once and they scared me. My brother had a bobsleigh, quite a long thing, and it would hold, four people, what it would hold. But with two people flat on their tummies, you'd come down that hill and try to make the corner at the bottom. If you didn't, you went over the edge and down to, it was Fraser that lived there then, and he was the, worked for the tailors. You'd go down into that place. I found that terrifying.
Yeah, I would too.
Tried it once, but the boys did it all the time. That was
yeah.
a lark for them, down the RCS hill and around. But there again, no cars, nothing.
Well, how would, like, say on Sunday in the winter, how would you get to church?
Walk.
Just walk.
Yeah.
Mm.
Everybody walked. No. Actually, we all went to Sunday school. I don't think I went to church till I was practically growing up. Older, anyway.
Yes. Well, Audrey's, again, Stanley was saying that
yeah.
children didn't go to church until after they were confirmed.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was right, I guess. But no, I guess we walked everywhere. Now I can hardly walk.
You're
it's
doing
terrible.
Very well. You're an inspiration.
Well, she does well. She never... Does packs in a lot. But, yes, we're about, she's about a half a year younger than I am.
Well, this is, there are quite a few people around, actually. That's quite nice. Yeah, like her brother, Tim.
Yes, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He was a little younger than my brother, I think. Not much. But, I have photos of, we used to have these odd house party thing, and we had one at Lakeside again. When we were all teenagers, my aunt would take us all in. And I said, the only people that are alive are Dick Steele, myself, and my cousin, and Betty Mortimer, that was. She lives in Australia.
Okay.
Betty's still alive. My cousin died. Dick, Betty, and I think are the only ones that are alive in those pictures now. And the whole gang of them, we just grew up all a gang. There were about 35, I think, teenagers of a range that
really?
In the village at that point, or
okay.
around about.
Right.
That all knew each other
That's
well.
That's nice, yes. Yeah.
And life was just a dream when you think back. When I was 12 years old, I played golf. I think to be a full member, I'm still 14, to be a full member, junior member, was something like $12. And we'd go down and we'd play with a lot of the caddies. And then they'd be busy later on in the afternoon. We weren't allowed on the course in the afternoon. That was fine.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all come down and go sailing or play tennis at night. My sister played tennis. I wasn't that energetic, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But sailing, I lived on that river.
Isn't that something?
And it was no effort. You go on your bike everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
And your parents didn't have to worry about where you were?
No. No, they obviously didn't, because we would bike down to the golf club, and then I'd hate to have a child biking down there now.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Too much traffic.
And now, did you go do any dancing?
Oh, there was, yes, there were Marg Peters, Dr. Peters' daughter, and I think it was Marg and somebody else, who else, was teaching us to dance, so to speak, and we'd go to their house and once a week or once, I don't know how often, not very often.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it lasted very long,
okay.
But I can remember they were going to teach us to dance. But the dances at RCS were the big thing.
Were they? Yes.
Yeah. To go to that, we had fun. But then, as we grew up, people had dances. There was a pavilion at Donnell Point. Remember going to one there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one at the house. And my cousins had, they had the one at the Beatty. The Beatty was popular.
Yes.
But then we were all teenagers, or yeah, more or less teenagers, I guess.
Now, when you were at Netherwood, was there much interaction between the RCS boys and
none?
None whatsoever?
No. You weren't supposed to even look at the boys. And it was hard for me because at the house, when we were all there, and I was boarding before they actually went up to Montreal,
mm-hmm.
they were up and down, and they thought it was easier. So I was boarding. But all those boys that were at the school used to come down to the house, and when I was at home, the cousins would have them all down, and we all just kind of there. So when I was a boarder, they'd come and they'd sneak around the school, and they'd rap on the window and yell my name. Oh, Niskanen gave me more lectures, and see, when my child went there, I said, if you're right, and you're being lectured on something that they say you're wrong, stand up for yourself. Don't let them bulldoze you. I said, when I think of all the lectures Niskanen gave me because of those RCS boys who I couldn't give a hoot and a holler about, I was attracting them to the school. I said, no, I didn't want anything to do with them. And at that point, I was trying to keep steady. And they'd be outside the window. And, I'll go away, you know. Anyway, my daughter took this to heart. And Mrs. Crimmins was lecturing her one day. And she turned the towel around and she said a few words to Mrs. Crimmins, I guess, because Mrs. Crimmins and I had been roommates at school. So the next time I was down, I was talking to her, she said, I've got to tell you, I had a 20-minute lecture from your daughter. I said, well, you can blame that on me. And she remembered. She went through the same thing somewhat.
Sure.
She got.
So she was a teacher at the school, was she?
She ran the school.
She ran the school
yeah.
later, yeah.
She was the principal.
Okay.
But when I was there, she was a student for a couple of years, and we roomed together.
Isn't that something? And so
yeah.
What goes around comes around.
That's right. But in the little cubicle where at the school, little room at the school, the office room, there was a lamp that hung down in the middle. And you always kind of got behind this lamp, and she sat down there. You hoped she wouldn't be looking directly at you, because you knew when she was going to lecture, she was serious.
Yes.
About it all. I used to get so annoyed.
But you didn't say anything.
Well, you didn't to her.
No, you. I can imagine.
In those days, you didn't do any
of it.
It
just wasn't done.
You were young. No, it wasn't.
No, that's true.
But I'd say plenty nowadays, probably. But my daughter did. That was the different the group, I guess. And no. But I was there 8 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So it
was.
No, I loved it.
How many would have been there when you were there?
70 or 80.
Really? So that was a good number.
Montreal. And most, there were two train, you know, cars full of Montrealers pretty well. When we were 11, we were allowed to go to Montreal. And both mother's sisters lived there, so we'd go up in the train with the Netherwood girls. And
oh, okay.
That was a big treat.
Yeah.
For my sister and myself, we both did.
It would be, yes.
And they had more fun. They had the whole car to themselves, and two of them, Montreal girls, and there were a lot of them. And I think a lot of it started when they built the big building in the middle, Senior Hall, known as. Phoebe Knobs was sent down to school, and it was her father that had been the architect. I think that's what started a lot of them coming down.
Okay, yeah.
And then one after another, because a lot of them we knew. And kept in touch with a lot of them for quite a while.
That's nice. And she had, I think, Miss Ganong had gone to McGill at one point, I think. But there was an affiliation there anyway. There was
We had to write the McGill exams.
Yes,
But then a lot of schools did. It was like the entrance exams, the end of June. Yeah. I don't know where all she went, but her brother that lived in the States, and he was a doctor of letters of some sort, and he used to come up and promote the place and push her, I think.
Really?
And give her good advice.
Yeah.
He was a I think they're all brilliant, the Ganongs.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she certainly sounded like she was ahead of her time.
Oh, and she I don't know, she just ran a good school. There would be a lot of people that said she didn't, but there was a nice feeling amongst all the girls, and
yes.
I think the teachers too. We all had fun.
Yes.
But there were always a few. I can remember she sent one or two she sent right home. They weren't going to like it. No, why have them there? So she could be hard-boiled, I guess, if she wanted to be. But I lived in her house for a couple of years, and I can remember she had to have the eye operation, the cataract. And in those days, they put them in bed and put a pillow on either side of their head. You weren't allowed to move.
Oh, my dear.
And we had to whisper and be so quiet and everything else. And Miss Stoddard, who was the two I see, loved to come over to her house, and they'd turn the music on full blast on the opera or something. Well, as kids, the opera drove you crazy, and you're up in your bedroom, and the antenna went up outside the house. And we'd take a pair of scissors sometime and just scrape it down the antenna. So they'd finally turn it down and shut it off for a while. We'd all go to sleep. But I can remember that woman thinking, oh, she's going to die. She's just on that bed. You could see her. She couldn't move.
For how long?
It seemed to me it was ages.
Really?
I suppose it was a couple of weeks.
Was that after she retired or?
No, before she retired.
Really?
That was in the 30s. When I moved into her house, 37, 36.
Yeah.
I think.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they do it and you walk home.
Exactly.
Pretty well. No.
Amazing.
No, she was very firm and very on many things, but I think she was pretty sound. But with the boy situation, that was absolutely ridiculous. Even the church, you turned around as much as said hello, you had your head chopped off practically. So you didn't.
Yeah.
So the boys all went to church, sat on one side of the church, and we were on the big aisle on the other side.
Right. Yeah.
And you weren't supposed to even acknowledge the fact that you knew any of them.
Yeah.
Oh, no, a lot of that was just too far gone.
Yes, yeah, but it was the way it was.
My youngest sister always said she was thrown out because she went to the dance. Which she did.
She did.
And so school was out and she went to the June dance. And she said, you know, it's against the rules of the school for the young people to go up there and dance, this sort of
really?
Thing. Nobody paid much attention to do it. But anyway, she went up to Toronto school after that. And my mother said, oh, it's time. She said, I'm sick of all this nonsense. Sent her up. But actually, Mom went there to school. It was Havergal.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they offered to send me up. I said, if I have another year of school, I don't think I could take it. So I said, no, thank you.
Enough is enough.
Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't a great scholar, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
No. But they were good years.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, now, every once in a while, my daughters will ask me something. They say, really? They sound quite astounded. Now they're all grown up, but when they were young, comparing it with their days, they just couldn't believe it.
Yes.
They were complaining because they only got to town once or twice or something. We never got out the gate.
Yes, yeah.
One Saturday evening, you were allowed to go to somebody's house for dinner. I think it was one Saturday a month or something. Out Saturday, they called it. And you were allowed to go, and you had to be back by 7:30 or 8 o'clock, something crazy. I've forgotten now.
But I remember
it was quite ridiculous.
But other than that, you
never came out the gate except to go to church.
Isn't that something?
Until playing basketball, and then I wrenched my knee, and I was studying next to a radiator. I could see the whole room. And that knee kept getting bigger and bigger, all blown up, and I had really wrecked it, and I had to go into town to the doctor, and I had to go every week after that.
Oh,
and some of them thought I was so lucky, but I didn't enjoy it much. Dr. Spangler, you always knew when he was finished because he'd take your head and go zunk zunk when it cracked, but he was bone specialist, you know. But that was part of the arrangement into town. He discovered it when I first went in that I had curved you the spine is what bit. So that's why I had to go every week. And they thought I was so lucky getting to town. That is no joy. You just go and get in and get out.
Did you go on the train at that time?
No, I don't know how on earth. I have a feeling grandmother's driver took me every now and then. Somebody drove me quite often. I think Mom did.
So,
too.
Okay.
They had a car. Mother was one of the first people, women to drive, I think.
Yes, yes, I read that.
Yeah.
But when you were in school, were your parents, I'm trying to figure out the dates, were they in Montreal at that time?
Up and down.
Okay, but were your grandparents here?
Next door.
Were you allowed to see them?
No,
you
no. No, girl, not, I shouldn't say they were. They were in Florida all winter.
Oh, okay.
And grandmother was back. She was there because grandmother died the year my first child was born, the same time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
her name was Susan, and my eldest child is Susan. And she was born in 46.
Oh, good heavens. Yeah.
She's an old lady now.
Watch that. Watch that. I know I was reading in the paper two people who have died from the flu.
Oh.
And they said, elderly people, and the ages were 62 and
no.
70. I'm 62. I said elderly.
Oh,
I don't think
no.
of elderly.
Oh, gosh. No, my daughter's going to be 60, the other one, 62 in January. I think that's right. 49.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 61 then, wouldn't it be? Because I was born in 47, and I'll be 63. So
I thought she was... Maybe she was only 60. Where are we? They were born in 46, 49, 53. Oh, I said all with threes. I
you
can
were
remember.
Busy.
Well, the oldest and the youngest are about 7 years apart.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
But they're great friends, and they look so alike. They come home when everyone gets them mixed up. The middle one, not, she's completely different. And there was the middle one I just had for a week or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But nice. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, Miriam Wells across the street, I always rely on the fact that I have them as neighbors, because Miriam said, anytime you need, call us. And they have two strong boys and a little girl. But it's nice knowing I have somebody I can call.
Isn't that nice?
And yes. I said, you know, my daughters are wonderful. She said, I know. I remember when you broke your hip. She said, I know your light pattern. And I said, something's wrong at Mrs. Hunter's house. She said, I couldn't believe those girls had arrived all so quickly.
Really, yeah.
And they called, somebody called and said, your mother's had an accident. And they were here, boom, right off the bat. It was
that's
amazing.
Nice.
Brought me home from the hospital in the back of the car. It's giggling.
That's nice.
Oh, no, they're wonderful. They always seem to turn up every time I have a problem with old age problems now,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, that's great.
But
yeah. Well, that's good. I think we've covered a lot of territory.
Oh, if things keep popping up, I could probably go on for hours if I ever
had
a brain
that
would bring them up.
No, if you
but
think of something, because it's you true, you think of
choose.
Things and then you forget. So if you think
yes.
of something, just jot it down. Just sort of a couple words to remind you and give
and
me a call.
The girls that we quilt Odd Stanley and I, and they keep saying, why don't you two write a book? You should write
seriously,
a book.
Seriously, yeah.
Who would give a hoot?
No, people are interested. Look at me, you see? I'm gonna need that too.